to get along with our conversations, and this one with Winky Madad. Israel Madad is a resident of Shiloh in the middle part of the state of Israel. It's in that area that they refer to as the disputed territories, a Jewish community having a great historic and biblical background dating back some 3,500 years to the time when Joshua brought the children of Israel into the promised land as God provided for them. Winky, we want to talk with you about some of the Middle East update activities taking place. Now, I've got to, there's a headline in the Jerusalem Post. I know that you've just come out of the Shabbat. You may not have been able to see the Jerusalem Post yet, but the headline says that Ahmadinejad is being quoted telling the world, he that controls the Middle East will control the wealth of the world. That, to some extent, has to be correct when you, I just talked with Bob McGinnis about it, when you think about the petroleum products that are being produced out of the Middle East. This is a very interesting statement. What are your thoughts about it?
Well, Jimmy, actually, oil has and energy resources have always played an element in the politics of the Middle East beginning after World War One. Not too many people know that the Golan Heights was supposed to be part of the British Mandate of Palestine, but the British convinced the French to give them Mosul in northern Iraq in exchange for the Golan, because they had already begun petroleum industry there and knew the potential of Mosul. The Golan Heights, they didn't think anything of it, and that was affected between 1920 and 1923. So already we see elements of oil simply not having an effect on oil or on energy, on burning lamps or anything, but how do we say, great power politics. And, of course, after the discovery of great oil fields in Saudi Arabia, the United States was very heavily influenced by the Ibn Saud family. Franklin Delano Roosevelt met with him. This is an old story going on, and the ruler of Iran is well aware of the effect that oil can have on what you would think are the morality of human relationships being affected by whether or not I can gas up my car to go another 10 miles.
Absolutely. Well, I don't know if you heard this story, but I had a story this week, a report coming out of the Negev, that there is a Israeli company that believes there's a great potential for oil right there in Israel. Have you heard anything about that?
I heard, I think, a fleeting report on the radio going past my ear. You know, I'm not that jaded a person, but we've heard many of these before. And one of the jokes, of course, is that in God's mercy, he didn't give us oil. Every other Middle East country seems to have it. But I don't know. Hopefully, because of the oil deposits around, maybe something will seep into this area, and I wish them very well, but it's really been very small over the years, and we're still waiting for Israel. In the meantime, we have to make use with other God's gifts, such as brains and a little bit of personality to turn things around, including, as you probably know, maybe people know, the electric car. One of the models is an Israeli invention, and we hope maybe that will also help decrease the dependence on Middle East oil.
Yes, that's what everybody wants to do. Even President Obama, in his State of the Union message, talked about alternative power sources to oil itself. Hey, that brings up the thought, what did you think, and what do the Israelis think about the Obama State of the Union message?
I think it's undeniable that Mr. Obama, whether you are with him or you are uneasy with him, you cannot deny that he is one of the more ideologically oriented presidents in recent times. Everybody comes with either Republican or Democratic basic understanding, but of course moves very quickly to the center. Obama did not want to do that, and he hasn't yet decided to do that. And so his approach to the Middle East was very affected by what he learned in Chicago. Not too many people know that his, you know, with quotation marks, his rabbi, Rabbi Wolf, was one of the early Brera activists. BRERA was an organization back in the 1970s that was very moderate to extreme left in viewing what Israel should do with its Arab neighbors. So he's, and his, one of his great friends, as we know, is Rashid Khalidi, one of the outstanding academics from the Arabs originating from the area of Palestine. So we know where he's coming from, and I think many of his Jewish advisors are not that pro-Israel in the sense of realizing what our needs are and what our destiny is. And so we were not surprised at all that he came up against a stone wall and is now trying to look for blame where it shouldn't be placed.
Yeah, absolutely. Prime Minister Netanyahu going over into Ariel, which is one of the Jewish settlement areas, planting a tree saying that it, Ariel, is going to be the capital of Samaria. He's drawing a line in the sand, is he not?
Yes, actually that was the third ceremony. He had one in Gush Etzion and the first one in Ma'ale Adumim, and he used that opportunity, as you say, to not to draw a line in the sand, but to plant a tree in the soil. Of course, you say this is in, this is in, this is in, what is out? We haven't heard yet about that. Hopefully, it makes it clear that when Mr. Netanyahu talks about peace, at the very minimum, he's talking about a little bit of territorial concession from the other side. You know, Jimmy, all these years we've heard that, you know, territorial compromise is the key to Israel-Arab peace. And I keep on answering, okay, what territories are the Arabs going to compromise?
Mm.
But they never do, and they always ask a little bit more every single time. So it's encouraging on the one hand to say that only in the sense that Mr. Netanyahu is willing to take a stand. On the other hand, it makes it very clear that everything is still open, and we have to make sure that retention of territory is based not only on its economic value, not only on its security value, but also on the value of whether that or not is the land that God intended for the Jewish people to return to. We're in a century or so of this great return to Zion and the reconstitution of the Jewish national home. We're not finished. And we hope, with the help of our friends and understanding of our neighbors, that we're able to get this task done.
You know, in light of what you've just said about the Palestinians not willing to compromise any land, there's evidence of that this week because Mahmoud Abbas, president of the Palestinian Authority, made an absolute statement that Jerusalem will be the capital of Palestine, a Palestinian state. Now, he may not be planting a tree in Jerusalem, but he did draw a line in the sand when he made that statement. And that's in conflict with the not only political interest in Israel, but prophetic as well. The Bible says Jerusalem will be the capital of the Jewish people.
Absolutely. And I want to just make two quick remarks on that. Those who remember someone by the name of Yasser Arafat, he always had this phrase, on the ramparts of Jerusalem with its mosques and churches. He never included synagogues whenever he made this speech of his that we're coming back to Jerusalem. The other thing is, historically speaking, Jimmy, and again, those with us with a little bit of white hair up above our ears, remember that up until 67, there was a country called Jordan which ruled Judea, Samaria, and East Jerusalem, and the capital of that country was not in Jerusalem. The capital was in a place called Amman on the other side of the Jordan River. And you would think that if Arabs at least had part of Jerusalem during 1948 and 1967, they would make that part their capital, because this is what we think of today, not realizing that, you know, in a sort of anachronistic state, looking back, that wasn't true. So what we say is that all this Jerusalem claiming is really simply a matter of politics. It's not really anything of intense element within the culture and the nationalism we face. And therefore, we think the best thing to be is to give it to us, leave it with us. We won't destroy tens of thousands of either graves or synagogues or other places as the Jordanians did during that 19-year period. We promise to be very good, allow religious freedom, and hopefully that's the way the world will see it.
Winky Madad, our special broadcast partner, out of Shiloh. It's a historic biblical site. We've been talking about Jerusalem, and that is absolute truth. Winky, thank you so much. Appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Jimmy, and goodbye to you and our listeners.